Transform Your Leadership, an audiobook by Core of Development. Part 1. The Monday Morning Meeting. Marcus has been running production teams for 11 years. He knows his numbers. He knows his people. And every Monday morning at 8 o'clock sharp, he stands at the head of the table and tells his team exactly what needs to happen this week. He is good at it. Clear, decisive, efficient. The meeting is done in 20 minutes. And then, by Wednesday, half of what was agreed has stalled. Not because the team is lazy, not because the plan was wrong, but because Marcus made the decisions and the team is waiting to be told what to do next. This is not a story about a bad leader. Marcus is a good leader. This is a story about a system, a way of working that looks like leadership but quietly undermines it. A system most organizations run on, a system that produces results, just not the ones they need. And it is a story about what happens when you change it. Part 2, the formula nobody taught you. There is a formula at the heart of how organizations succeed or fail. Most leaders have never heard it, but they feel it. Every time a strategy they believed in died in execution. Every time a reorganization was announced and quietly ignored. Every time a brilliant decision produced no result. The formula is this: solution times acceptance equals result. A perfect solution multiplied by zero acceptance delivers nothing. This is not a soft idea. It is a mechanical fact about how organizations work. When Marcus makes decisions alone, he produces solutions. Good ones, often. But he produces them without involving the people who must execute them. And so those people feel no ownership. They wait. They ask. They slow down. The problem is not his decisions. The problem is his process. The question is, what does it look like to change it? Part 3, three kinds of leader. Imagine three leaders facing the same situation, a team that is behind on a critical project. The first leader calls a meeting and assigns tasks, clear responsibilities, tight deadlines. The team leaves knowing exactly what they are supposed to do. A week later, some tasks done, others stalled, new problems have appeared. The leader holds another meeting and assigns more tasks. This is task-oriented leadership. It works when the leader can see everything and has all the answers. But no leader can see everything, and the team, over time, stops thinking for themselves. The second leader sets a target. They communicate the goal, share the KPIs, and trust the team to find a way. Clear expectations, measurable outcomes. A week later, the team is moving, but in different directions. They are not sure how to solve the real underlying problems. They need help, but the leader is managing the target, not the people. Think of a sales organization running on quarterly numbers. The target is visible, the pressure is real, and people are working hard. But without a shared understanding of what is actually blocking performance, every individual finds their own workaround. One person discounts to close. Another chases volume at the expense of margin. A third stops reporting accurately because the numbers look bad. The target stays the same. The behavior fragments. This is target-oriented leadership. Better, but incomplete. The third leader calls a meeting, but before sharing any opinion, she asks a question. What do we know about why we're behind? Take a moment. Write down what you see. Each person writes. Each person shares. Different views emerge. From engineering, from logistics, from the floor. Some overlap, some surprise her. Together they identify the actual problem, not the one she assumed. Together they choose a direction. Together they name the next concrete step with a single owner and a date. The meeting takes 40 minutes, but the decisions hold. This is solution-oriented leadership. Part 4, inside the meeting. What made that third meeting different? It was not the leader's charisma. It was not a clever framework printed on a slide. It was a sequence, a way of structuring a conversation so that every person's thinking was used, not just the leader's. Background first, before the question, before the ideas. Build a shared understanding of the facts. What do we know? What has happened? What is at stake? Then a single open question, not should we do X? That is already an answer with a question mark. But what is stopping us from delivering on time? Or How can we recover this project without sacrificing quality? A question that invites thinking. Then silence. Every person writes their own ideas before hearing anyone else's. This is the step most leaders skip, and it is the step that changes everything. Individual thinking, before group thinking, kills the tendency to simply agree with whoever spoke first. Then around, every person shares, not a discussion, not a debate. One person, one contribution in turn. The leader listens. The leader does not react, defend, or evaluate. Then common ground. What do we all see? Where do our ideas point? Not compromise, clarity, not the loudest voice winning, the shared view emerging, then decisions, then actions, small, concrete, own by name, due by date. Then a logbook entry, written, visible, shared. This is the COD meeting, not a concept, a practice. Run this meeting once, and the team notices something is different. Run it consistently, and something in the organization begins to shift. Part 5, between meetings. Here is what most leadership systems miss. The gap between meetings is where execution lives or dies. What is the rhythm of work? How visible is progress? How early do problems surface? Early enough to solve them, or only when they have become crises? Core of Development calls this the supporting infrastructure, and it has three properties that matter above everything else. Transparency, not reporting for its own sake, but shared visibility that allows the team to help each other. Action plans that everyone can see. Progress that does not hide in individual inboxes. Granularity, tasks that can be completed in 1 to 2 weeks. Not improve customer satisfaction, but meet with 3 customers before the 15th and document what they say. Small enough to actually happen, specific enough to verify. Frequency, a meeting rhythm that holds. Every week, every month, every quarter. Predictable, prepared, and kept. Not because the calendar demands it, because consistency is what separates organizations that execute from organizations that plan. And at the center of it all, a logbook. Every decision, every action, every owner, every date, written down in one place, visible to the people responsible. This is governance, not as a control layer, but as a way of working that makes execution natural. Part 6, the one-on-one. Back to Marcus. 3 months after the Monday meeting that changed nothing, Marcus sits across from one of his team leads, Sarah. Sarah is struggling. A key supplier has failed. Her numbers are behind. She is working late, managing up and down simultaneously, and she looks exhausted. The old Marcus would have told her what to do. He has been in this situation. He knows the answer. He could have the problem solved in 10 minutes. But the new Marcus has learned something. When he gives the answer, Sarah stops looking for her own. And Sarah, it turns out, is closer to the real problem than he is. So instead he asks, "What is actually happening with the supplier situation? Walk me through it." Sarah talks. Marcus listens, not planning his response, but genuinely listening. He asks what she sees as the gap between today and where they need to be. He asks what she has already tried. He asks what is in her way. 40 minutes later, Sarah has a plan. It is not the plan Marcus would have made. It is better, because it accounts for things he did not know. Marcus adds one suggestion carefully. Sarah takes it. The next week, the SUPP. Liar situation begins to move. This is the one-on-one, not therapy, not mentoring, a structured conversation that transfers ownership back to the person who should have it. Part 7, what changes? When Marcus's teams began running COD meetings consistently, something happened that he did not expect. People started bringing problems earlier, not because he asked them to, because they had learned that problems in this team were treated as questions to solve together, not evidence of failure to be judged. The energy in the room on Mondays changed. People came prepared. They had thought about the question. They had ideas. And Marcus noticed something else. He was tired in a different way. Not the exhaustion of carrying everything, but the productive tiredness of someone who had been genuinely thinking with other people. This is what solution-oriented leadership produces. Not a softer organization, a faster one. One where decisions are made at the right level, owned by the right people, and followed through with a clarity that task-based instructions rarely achieve. Core of Development has seen this shift happen in organizations across 50 countries, in carve-outs and post-merger integrations, in production teams and executive committees, in global corporations and family-owned businesses. The pattern is always the same. Involve the people who must execute, and execution improves, not as a theory, as a result. Part 8, the question worth asking. If you are a leader, or you lead leaders, there is a question worth sitting with. When your team leaves a meeting, do they feel the weight of a decision made for them? Or do they feel the energy of a direction they helped build? Both produce action, but only one produces ownership. And only ownership produces the kind of result that sustains itself after the meeting ends, after the quarter closes, after the initiative fades from the priority list. Core of Development exists to help organizations make that shift, not through workshops that inspire and disappear, but through a system that becomes the way the organization actually works. You know what needs to be done. COD shows you how.